Welcome to She Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with some 2021 celeb relationship rumors. We are doing cringe mode The Bachelor. And we're also, you know, briefly going to talk about David Hasselhoff's $1.5 million replica of himself.
I can't wait.
Well, such good content already.
I know. Follow us on Twitter. We're at teatime_33. And then follow us on Instagram at teatimepod. Okay, before we get into the show, let's take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of two, 200 or 2 billion, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
All right, first category. It's, what day is it? It's January 7th, and we've already got a lot of celeb relationship rumors swirling about in this new year. So Tea Time is checking in with the 2021 relationship news dump. Actually, a shocking amount this week. Kate, start us off.
I mean, obviously, I can only talk about one thing at the beginning of this podcast, and that is my boy Harry Styles and his new boo, Olivia Wilde. Mm. They took the internet by storm this week when they were revealed to be dating at Harry's friend and manager Jeff Azoff's wedding. Jam Session went very in-depth into this, but I'm not going to talk about it. Literally, it's right. My entire personality. So, you know, there were like some very clearly planned pictures of them released. Mm. She was his date to this wedding of his close friend. Then pictures of them in Santa Barbara over New Year's were released. So like it's very definitely, you know, they're starring in a movie together. People are like, it's clearly a PR relationship. However, I disagree. First of all, I want to make it very clear that I approve of this couple. I love Harry Styles. Olivia Wilde could not be more his type unless she had walked in a Victoria's Secret fashion show, which she could have if she wanted to, but she was too cool to go that route. I personally have loved Olivia Wilde ever since she made out with Marissa Cooper on The OC. Just a formative character for many of us. So I just fully approve of this. She's 10 years older than him, obviously his type. And he's not really her type, but he also kind of is. Obviously, she split with Jason Sudeikis. It became public recently, but was not recent, I believe, is kind of what people have realized. But, you know, I think you could classify him as a rebound. And personally, I think if you're going to rebound from your longtime husband and partner with anyone, like it may as well be Harry Styles.
Yeah. So Kate, are you claiming that this relationship is actually romantic, genuine, and like came about in a natural way and not some plant from a movie they're doing or like an industry setup? Do you think this is real?
That's the question that everyone's trying to figure out. I think it's real. I think they're very much each other's type. She likes really famous guys. She dated Bradley Cooper, Justin Timberlake, Jason Sudeikis, not so much, but like, you know, over the course of her life has dated like very famous, some pop stars, just like guys who, you know, like to have a good time or like sort of a good hang. And yeah, they're in a movie together, whatever. I think that it's real. Apparently he's like met her kids. I think it's definitely convenient, but I also kind of think the movie is so far away that like, it's almost too soon for them to be dating if they like didn't plan on doing it for a really long time. So that to me is like, it's definitely a committed relationship. Okay. However, the internet, and by which I mean the One Direction stans, which still very much live on the internet, were so mad about this and are still so mad about this. They are like, oh, so Harry Styles holds hands with a woman and we just assume they're dating. Oh, I'm like, God. She's his date to this wedding of his closest friend and manager. But sure.
They could be like clearly pictures of them kissing and the One Direction fans would be like, she's just like trying to get something off of his face. You know,
right. Like, and the strongest One Direction fans, again, I just salute their stamina, are the Larry shippers.
Larry Stylinson.
Harry Styles shippers, who once again are like, they have been in love and have secret children together and have been in love for many years. And I honestly, at this point, am just in awe of their stamina and their ability to keep this going.
Some real endurance on their part.
Truly. One Direction disbanded, whatever, went on hiatus 5 years ago. And long before that, the Larry stans were like out of trend. Like they had separated Harry and Louis on stage. They did not do interviews sitting next to each other.
That's so sad.
They did not, which like was because, not because of these stans, but like.
Well, kind of. I think it definitely was.
Yeah. So like even before then, this was like not a thing.
One time I went to Italy and there was like stickers everywhere that were like Larry Stylinson is real, and that's like one of my most formative memories of like Italy.
Yeah, and like now they're on Olivia Wilde's Instagram, like sending her hate messages, and I'm just like, you guys, I've never cared about anything in my life this much, and I just don't know how they do it. I want to know how and why they're still so devoted to this cause. Anyway, I don't agree with the Larrys. I think this is real. I think it's convenient, but it seems pretty on brand for both of them. And I approve. Honestly, I'm in. Great. I'm in on. And Harry Styles' most famous song that he wrote himself before he became a solo artist, it's called Olivia. So it's just fate.
Perfect.
You know?
Do you see this as like a Sean Mila? Am I saying that right?
Like a really, like a long-term PR relationship. Allegedly. I mean, it could be. I think that's what the people who are not into it will say. Mm-hmm. But I just don't really care. It seems like they're having a good time. I like both of them. That's the difference between them and Shawn Miller.
Sure.
Is that I like Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde.
It feels like they won't do the walk tour that a lot of these other relationships will do.
They're much more self-aware than those two. They're also just cooler than those two.
Yeah. True.
Olivia Wilde, very online, kind of like with the times. And I don't mind it. I think they're a cool couple and I think they're having fun and I just don't really care.
Great. Yeah. Happy for you.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
All right. Next one.
Thank you. Another couple that was very publicly photographed over the holidays was Margaret Qualley and Shia LaBeouf. Controversial for many reasons. The primary one being that Shia LaBeouf has recently been accused of abuse from various women, including FKA Twigs. So just a really bad look for Margaret Qualley to be doing like image rehabilitation for him in public, going on these very public paparazzi hikes, et cetera. A lot of people were talking about it online, just being like, what is she doing? What is this like young girl who has could be dating anyone, has obviously as questionable taste in men as we've seen with Pete Davidson. But they were like, what is she doing? Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Get some sense into her head. Supposedly they just broke up. So Margaret, I'm glad someone has, you know, gotten some sense into you. And I just would say everyone else, please stay away from Shia LaBeouf. Like,
yep.
Everyone else in Hollywood, just stay away.
Yep.
Agreed. Okay. Next one.
Well, let's just briefly talk about the Kim Kanye rumors. Page Six, was like, we hear that the divorce for Kim and Kanye is imminent. And I guess Kim hired Laura Wasser, who is that famous celebrity divorce attorney. And obviously, you know, I feel like in the last year, we've seen less and less of them together. We've known that he was in Wyoming at their ranch. And obviously, you know, he has a lot of mental health issues that are really sad. And I think it's probably really exhausting for her. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, she isn't probably complicit in this too, but it's just, you know, it's hard when you
it's
have
been
someone...
a lot between them lately.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, I think and he was in all of like when she did her birthday party. 40th birthday, he wasn't, he was like in the background of pictures, like, you know, it was like a flash picture of Kanye, like walking through the background or something.
Right.
Like,
there's really all these
planning the hologram, you guys.
Yeah. Oh my God, the iconic Robert Kardashian Sr. hologram. Yes.
Right.
I mean,
there's been a lot of stories in the last year where he's like been removing himself from either family events or obviously the show that films almost all year round. And that apparently, like allegedly, was a cause in all this. Kaya made a really interesting point in that E! News has like, was A, not the first people to report on this, and B, like doesn't have any inside scoop. Do you guys think that that's because their relationship with E! News is kind of like now shuttering and Kris Jenner doesn't owe E! News anything, and now with Hulu, it feels like maybe they won't be. Like anytime I used to read a Kardashian piece on E!, I was like, okay, this is fed by Kris Jenner. I feel like that's no longer the case. I have to find a new outlet.
Wasn't it TMZ too? Wasn't TMZ the one who always had the Kardashian scoop?
Well, TMZ always has everything, and I don't. And they're scary. And I almost like don't even want to speak their name. Yeah, but E! News was like, you know, the Kardashian home,
right? Yeah, but like actual approved news.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe they've lost their touch.
Yeah, maybe
we don't know.
And then lastly, just one more breakup. Sorry for all the bad news showing up in the pod, but we'll swing back upwards. I promise. Our girl Zoe Kravitz is now divorcing Carl Glusman after only 18 months of marriage. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of stake in that relationship on themselves. I think all of us actually care more about her as a person and like what she'll do next and like what, you know, hoping that she's okay. So she'd filed for divorce. The reason for the split is obviously unknown. Carl has unfollowed Zoe Kravitz and deleted all photos of her. I think he only has like a couple left on his Instagram. But then shortly after this news broke, then like all these rumors started swirling that Zoe Kravitz was like dating fucking Channing Tatum, which is like the weirdest thing for me to wrap my head around. I think those rumors have been debunked, but that was everywhere for a short time. Kate, do you care to comment? I believe you were the one who told me this.
Yeah, that was all over. It really the same day as like Harry Styles, Olivia Wilde was when the Channing Tatum rumors really took hold. Cause I think people were like 2021, like actual celebrity news. I don't think any real proof has been given to the Channing Tatum theories. I saw Colin Farrell being thrown around as well.
Okay.
But I know, Liz, you wanted to give some suggestions if those are both just rumors of who she should date next.
I thought I wanted to give some suggestions, and I really only have one recommendation where it's like, as long as it's not Machine Gun Kelly or G-Eazy, I don't care. Do whatever you want. But please stay away from those two men. I know, but they're everywhere. And I feel like 2020 was just them running amok. And I just, they can now be like wifed up and like kind of spend the year out of my like celebrity purview. Do you guys have any legit recommendations?
I have a legit suggestion that I actually think is like actually could happen.
Okay.
I was looking at Zoe Kravitz's dating history, and she likes some like very weird dudes, like not weird, but like a specific kind of actor that's like a little bit method, a little bit over the top, a little like, I think Carl kind of fits into that. Mm-hmm. I think she had Michael Fassbender, she had Ezra Miller, like these guys that are like really intense, like really weird, but like also like kind of fun. Right now, Zoe Kravitz is shooting Batman with Robert Pattinson. Ooh. And it just seems like he fits the unwashed bill, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he just has the right amount of hair grease, the right amount of, like, handsome but unshaven and, like, a little weird.
Yeah.
And I think they would be a great couple.
Actually, I love that. Yeah. He needs to dump that one girl he's with. So, yeah.
Suki, what's her face? Yeah, I don't care what
her name is. Yeah.
Date Zoe instead. That's my, not prediction, but I have my fingers
crossed. That's good. That's a good one.
Thank you. Yeah.
Fingers crossed for you, Kate. All right, let's move on to the next category. It's This Week in Social Media / Not Worth the Tea. The first piece of news is a great crossover. It both happened on social media and it's extremely not worth the tea. And it is E! News. I feel like I've talked about them more than I usually do on this episode, but I paid close attention to them this week. They're struggling at the moment, I think. This is not my main point, but with this week's news and the white supremacists and the domestic terrorism that happened at the Capitol, they chose as their thoughtful commentary on it was to post a series of quote from Chloe Grace Moretz, Sarah Jessica Parker, Pink, and it just is like, you don't have to do that.
The people we turn to in these troubled times.
That's like the last people I want to hear from. I guess E! News I don't really want to hear from anyway, and it's my fault for engaging with their content.
It's literally like that Chappelle show come to life where he's like, or it's a stand-up and he's like, what does Ja Rule think? Have you seen that? It's funny. It's very funny. Okay, sorry.
Well, now we know what Chloe Moretz thinks about terrorism events. Anyway.
Thank you, E! News.
E! News also made me really laugh because this is actually, we have not talked about this. Emma Stone is pregnant, which is like great. She's been photographed. We were kind of maybe speculating off the mic about this situation. But anyway, it's official. And E! News really had a ball with coming up with some tweets because obviously, like, Amelia, you can speak more to this, but like, I feel like you gotta, E! News has to post about two or three times about the same piece of news because, you know, Twitter's long and filled with other shit. So you gotta continue to post about it. Anyway, their original breaking news tweet of Emma Stone's baby said, "Breaking, this is an easy B for Emma Stone. Baby, that is. She's expecting her first child with her fiance, Dave McCary." And I just feel like, you know, I think this has been speculated for a long time. They had a lot of time to, you know, brainstorm, bounce ideas off of one another. And I don't know that this is an easy B for Emma Stone. Baby, that is like the very best version of themselves, you know?
Agreed. It's low-hanging fruit.
Here were her other one, or the other account's tweets, and you guys can tell me your favorite. The second one was, "Her own little pocket full of sunshine. Emma Stone is going to be a mom."
Okay. Ooh, like a deep cut Easy A reference.
Wow, okay. Someone over at E loves Easy A.
Loves Easy A.
And then the third one was, "Emma Stone out and about with her growing baby bump. That's an easy A plus from us."
Oh my
us.
God. Are you fucking kidding me?
She's just made one other movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's not the movie she won the Oscar for. Are you kidding me right now? Oh
my God. Weird to really lean into Easy A. I know people love that movie, but like, yeah but the girl's got a long IMDb page.
My God.
I don't get it. Anyway, E! News. Better luck next time, perhaps with your puns.
We're rooting for you.
They're normally better about it. Okay, next piece of news.
So, you know, I have tried. I've given Blake Shelton a chance. I really have. You know, I feel like maybe we all have, maybe. I don't know. I said that and my voice was so wavering. But I've changed my mind and I reserve that right because he wrote a song called Minimum Wage about how some lady, which I guess is presumably Gwen Stefani, and her love is so amazing that it can make a guy feel rich while living on minimum wage. And it's just like, get out of here. He premiered it on NBC's New Year's telecast. And this is the quote, "I can't speak for everybody else, but I had a great 2020. Even though a lot of bad stuff happened personally for me, I got engaged to Gwen Stefani. And I don't care what else happened besides that. That made it a great year." It's just, I don't, that combined with the whole minimum wage song by a guy who makes $100 million, like, or who has a net worth of $100 million, it's like, just go, leave.
Oh my God.
Amelia, you were in on them briefly last year. You were like watching Blake Gwen compilations on YouTube.
Okay, all right, moving on.
I'm just saying, no, I'm sad for you that this has come about. I think it was
the smack in the face I needed, though.
Yeah, that's what we get for trying to give Blake Shelton a chance. That's so tone deaf. Oh, my God.
That's on us. Yeah. That's on us.
Yeah. That's our fault. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Our bad. God, this is such a random category. We've got to rename it. Okay.
Why are we talking about this next one?
Because it's not worth the tea. Okay. And Tea Time has a long history of covering children's TV show news. All the way back to Mr. Ratburn's Wedding on Arthur. We care about the genre. No genre is outside of our scope. We are a podcast of the people.
No one is
immune. Which is why we have to talk about the cancellation after two decades of Caillou, the children's television show. The New York Post wrote an article about it and said, "Parents are thrilled to see, quote, little brat teacher.
Oh my God.
Caillou canceled." Caillou has become like this internet meme. Am I the only person that had previous knowledge of Caillou before this?
I mean,
anyone?
I don't know. Like this.
You never watched Caillou?
No. I was watching Doug.
Wow.
Oh, I love Doug.
Well, similar energy, actually. It was just a children's TV show about this little bald kid. He had a really annoying song. He was really annoying.
Extremely same energy as Doug. He had like three little hairs.
Oh, that's cute. He did have three little hairs.
Well, there was a Caillou meme, right, Amelia?
Well, and I mean, it's very explicit. I won't say it, but there's like, there's a lyric that's like something bald like Caillou. Do you remember?
Oh, no.
What?
No.
By okay, who? No, I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. Okay, sorry. Moving on. Anyway. Sorry.
Anyway, this show's been on since 1997. I definitely watched it when I was a kid. I can still sing the theme song. It gets stuck in your head and never leaves. And parents are just thrilled that this show is no more.
Happy for
and
parents.
It just makes me feel sad because all the children's TV shows these days, I never saw now. I don't know Peppa Pig.
Oh,
I don't know whatever other shows these kids are watching. Caillou was my last one.
Were watching Caillou?
No, but I knew Caillou and the kids were watching Caillou.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
I did watch Caillou. So I just, you know, it just feels like one last remnant of my youth is gone.
Oh, my
with
God.
Caillou.
Yes, Amelia, I just found that as well. And I found the lyrics. That's what I've been distracted with. And I'm sure everyone listening will also do the exact same thing. If you're curious,
I will
we'll
look
make
it up after this.
We'll make it easy. It's a song by Young God. So anyway, that's that.
Thank you.
All right.
Good.
Can we move on?
Yes. Okay, great. This is happy news. This is a public announcement. And I'm taking the headline from February's Cosmo cover. Mm. It is SZA season, and it has been for a long time, but like it is officially SZA season. And I want to just give like her, because I don't think we've ever talked about her on this podcast. I'm obsessed with her music. I watched her live at Coachella. She's fucking fantastic, but she also has an amazing online presence, which I feel like at tea time we like give a lot of credit to people who do that. Lil Nas has it. We talk about Cardi B. We talk about Megan Thee Stallion. A lot of other people have this, but SZA is really funny because she's in her feelings like all the time online. And I would highly recommend following her on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter, she does some really phenomenal things. And also she just released some new music and she's got an album coming out. So stream good days, as we also say.
Yes.
Anyway, so she has been tweeting a lot in the new year. She goes, so she's been like shouting out many people. Shout out Zane, who sings to take the orders at Mendocino Farms on Ventura. Then she got home, realized Zane forgot her salad. She's like, just my dad's, but shout out Zane anyway, blah, blah. Then she's like, if y'all had a hotline to call and cry with me, would you use it? And my answer is yes, fucking please.
Yes.
And then lastly, my favorite one, I'm going to pull this up. She says on December 26th, one of the more depressing days out of the year, honestly, the day after Christmas, she goes, I understand mental health is important. I just want a bigger butt, which like, who doesn't? Everyone shares that with you, SZA. Anyway, I just really, really fucking love her. She's on the cover of February's Cosmo, which is where I grabbed SZA season. And I just encourage everyone listening, if you don't know her, familiarize yourself, stream her music. I think it's kind of a depressing time of year. And she's really good at you just like turn it on, get really in your feels. And you sit for a while.
Also, SZA, just one of the most beautiful humans to exist
Gorgeous.
On Earth.
Absolutely. Like, that's why you follow her on Instagram. Said. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's what Instagram's for.
Agreed.
TikTok, too. Isn't she on TikTok?
She tried. Okay, so she tried a couple days ago, and then she violated too many community guidelines, and her account has been blocked, so I couldn't find her.
Honestly, respect. Respect.
Yeah. She'll try again soon. Okay, anyway, last one.
Our last one is for all you view heads out there, which is me and my friend Alex, but it's fine. Actually, you know, a lot of people watch it, but that is neither here nor there, because I just want to briefly talk about a really funny tweet that went viral. It was like, I'm sorry, I'm like already cracking up. It's by someone whose handle is at Keeson or Kayshawn. I'm sorry, I probably butchered that, but it's anyway, he wrote of this screen cap that has all the view ladies. So we have Whoopi, she's smiling, she's laughing. We have Joy, she is smiling, laughing. They have Senator Warnock, he is again, big smile on his face. Joy, she also is laughing. We have Sunny, and she is mid laugh. And we have Sarah Haynes, and she is also mid laugh too. But in the middle, we've got a very angry looking Meghan McCain, and she's got the hair parted down the middle, and she's wearing like a kind of a poofy sweater, and she just looks pissed the fuck off. And this person wrote, oh, she big mad, and with like two little laughing emojis, and she does look big mad. Oh my God. It's just the contrast between everyone else being like, and her being like, is hilarious. And that went viral.
It's special.
It's really good. Sorry, that took a long time to
describe, but you know what, I'll link the tweet and you can look at it for yourself because yeah. She just looks so pissed off.
Classic tea time phenomenon.
You'll get it when you see it.
But she just looks so angry. Okay, sorry. But I as a view person, I just love to see this.
Yeah,
this
is great.
So yeah. Funny.
Love a good head. View yeah. meme.
That was for you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Okay, let's do the next category. I'm really, really, really excited to get into it.
Oh,
we're doing Cringe Mode, The Bachelor. And I cannot believe Kate has allowed us to do this. I'm so grateful, first of all, Kate.
You're welcome.
Longtime listeners know Kate can't watch reality TV because she gets embarrassed watching it. You guys should listen to TV Concierge, though. My two beautiful co-hosts, Amelia and Kate, talked about 90 Day Fiancé this week. So check that out. So Kate, you've been really dipping your toes in the reality TV pool. How do you feel?
I feel very awkward, very uncomfortable, well, and happy to be here, but I feel like I made it through a difficult week.
Right. Was this a better viewing experience for you than watching 90 Day Fiancé?
So I did not actually watch 90 Day Fiancé. That was part of my contract to do the podcast.
Oh my God.
I said I did not want to watch it. So it was mostly Amelia explaining to me the benefits of 90 Day Fiancé and me looking at memes, which is my preferred way of consuming reality television.
Yeah. Sure.
But I did watch the entire Bachelor premiere this week, my first ever Bachelor episode.
Wow.
I am so excited to talk about this. So Amelia and I are elbows deep in the Bachelor world. Amelia has her own YouTube commentary. It's so fucking funny. No Rose, All Thorn on YouTube.
You're very nice.
Watch it, comment, subscribe to the Ringer's YouTube channel. Anyway, so everybody knows me and Amelia love it. So let's dive in. This was obviously, as Kate said, the premiere of Matt James' season. Really exciting stuff. We took a 2-week break between Tayshia.
Not even.
And
it was 11 days.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Okay. Let's dive in with some highlights. So speaking of that, the juxtaposition between last season's La Quinta destination and then this season's absolute mansion of a hotel for Matt James.
My God.
Couldn't be a more stark contrast.
They were at the La Quinta Inn last season?
Yeah.
Well, it was like a resort, 100%
degree weather.
Yeah, but it was basic ass, suburban La Quinta versus this immaculate, beautiful, gorgeous. It puts every building to shame, honestly. Yeah. It's
insane. It's like a castle.
Yeah, it's in Pennsylvania. It's got the amazing foliage. It's it does look like a castle. And it is the proper background for a Bachelor season. And I just feel kind of sad for both Tayshia and Claire Crawley, who had to sweat
their
way.
Though, if you make these men stay at a La Quinta Inn for however long it takes to do this, that's a true declaration of love. I would believe that someone really loves me if they stayed at a La Quinta for me for God knows how long,
true.
As opposed to living in a castle. Because I would do that.
And also the name.
For no man.
Right. And the name of the mansion is called Nemecolon, which just, what the fuck? That sounds like a fancy racehorse name, or some kind of a trust that someone has set up who's really rich.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, very true. Wow.
The other highlight that I found from this episode was the pre-limo arrival, Matt James. Before all the women showed up, Matt James pulled Chris Harrison aside and was like, actually, can we go chat for a minute? I don't know how staged this was because they walked in and the room was fully lit and the fire was on. And I was like, okay, fine. But I thought they had a really lovely discussion and I almost wish a lot of hosts got that time with him. I know we don't know him as well, which we can talk about later in this category. We don't know him at all, honestly. But anyway, true. Matt James pulls Chris in this well-lit fireplace room and is talking about a lot of anxiety that he feels, how nervous he feels. There's a lot of pressure on him being the first Black Bachelor. He talked about an interesting point where he was like, people have expectations of who they want me to end up with and what race that person should be. Don't want to piss off Black people. I don't want to piss off white people. Anyway, they had a very candid conversation that took like a good amount of time, which I appreciated. And I just thought it was like nice to get to know Matt James like that. And he wasn't just like, okay, this is my abs and my workout video. And then I'm from North Carolina. Let's dive in with these women.
Though there was that as well. But yeah, I think my only criticism, it was like, and maybe I just like don't super like Chris Harrison, but it's like Chris Harrison is not equipped to have this conversation with this man. Like,
that's true.
You know, but I do agree that it was good that, you know, they didn't breeze over the topic, but yeah. I just like mm-hmm. anyone but fucking Chris Harrison. But anyway, I'm sorry.
That's very true. So then all the women arrive. It's more than 30 of them, and we're going to try our fucking best to keep them all straight.
I can't. I will not try.
Kate, what's your highlight for this premiere?
Right, yeah, your highlight.
I would like everyone related to me to stop listening right now because I'm going to say the word dildo so many times in the next 5 minutes. There's a girl who, you know, they do these gimmicks. I didn't really know about them, but I was like, okay, I'm just like committed to this. So yeah. I guess this is something that happens where they like bring props and stuff, mm-hmm. which I guess is good. It's more interesting than just like, I don't know.
They can stand out. Yeah.
Walking out of a car. But this one girl brought with her like a dildo vibrator.
Iconic.
And was like, this has gotten me through the last 9 months. And honestly, I thought it was a great bit. And yeah. I respect the comedy, first of all, because they had to block it out on television.
Right.
So for her to go with this, knowing that you would not even get the full effect, I thought was really funny. And yeah,
that didn't get old
now
for you,
I like
though?
Was like, see, here's the thing. Amelia in her No Rose All Thorn recaps, which are on YouTube and you should watch.
Oh, thanks again, guys.
Said that the dildo bit got old, which I actually appreciated the commitment to the bit because okay. It's not just that she brought it for her entrance. She kept it with her the whole night. She did not have a purse. She did not put it in a purse. She did not put it in a pocket in her dress. She carried it around. She kept making jokes about it. She like tapped her champagne glass with it and she tapped another woman on the shoulder with it, which I just think she was like sowing the seeds of chaos in this world that takes itself way too seriously. Yeah. And as a first time viewer that just like could not stand all of the like faux deep conversations, I was like, yes, queen, like, please interrupt this prayer with your dildo. Like, I'm living for it. And I thought it was really funny.
Wait, but no one explicitly says this was a new dildo.
Right. Oh yeah.
Which
no.
Is
and she
a little
even then.
Wow.
Even then was like, if she one of the girls was like making fun of it or something, of course, and she was like, well, I mean, she better hope she's my roommate because I would share it. Just crack me up. So yeah, I thought she was funny. Her name's Katie or something. And actually, somebody sent me, I think it was Kaya, sent me her TikTok. And I was like, oh, sure. Like, she was funny on the show. Like, let's see. But she was like exclusively funny in the context of this episode.
Of the dildo.
So Bachelor humor apparently does not really switch to real life humor. But yeah, I liked the chaotic evil of Dildo Girl.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
My other highlight was I just didn't know what to expect from all these girls. Kind of what I got really was just like kind of vapid personalities for a lot of them. And like, you know, they try, but not that interesting. But there's one girl named Kit who is such a caricature of a mean girl, of like a book character or like a Gossip Girl character. Or like a CW popular girl that I could not get over it. As Amelia is going to know, is the daughter of Cynthia Rowley, who's a famous designer. So she's got like the rich girl nepotism thing going for her. She's like this little pixie blonde. She was wearing like a loofah dress.
Which was Cynthia Rowley designed. Of course.
Of course it was. Which everyone else was in these like slinky, like sparkly dresses. So I actually did respect like the frills and like the fringe.
Yeah.
But I just could not get over, like, she literally was like, she came onto the show and someone was like, please act like you're from the Upper East Side on Gossip Girl. And she was like, okay. And that was
okay,
it.
I will.
To really lean in to that persona on the very first episode is kind of weird. And then again, I know, Kate, you don't believe in the true love journey that these people go on, but she couldn't have been more clear that, I think if she actually wanted to have like a real relationship with Matt James, like long term, I think she wouldn't be acting the way. But yeah, she comes in as a character of herself and kind of blows her chances, I feel like. The best she'll get is obviously like a very tumultuous two-on-one. Just like,
right.
Is that your goal here?
What is her goal? That's what I want to know.
What is a tumultuous two-on-one? My mind is
you'll have to
so
keep
many
watching.
Possibilities.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
Yeah, Amelia, why is she here? I do not get it.
I don't get it either, because like I looked up the net worth of Cynthia Rowley and it's $100 million. It's not like she needs more money, but I don't know. Maybe it. She listed her job title, because they all have their little job titles, as I think fashion entrepreneur or something. And so maybe she wants to have her own line or something. But it's just weird to me that it's like you could literally do anything else. But sure. I mean, I guess you will get people, you know, going to your Instagram. But it was just weird. It's just weird of all things.
I saw something, of course, on TikTok that was like kind of the foremost people followed after the Bachelor premiere. And she's one of them. It's, of course,
is she?
Matt James and Abigail. But she's, one of the people. So I guess her evil plan is working.
It's working.
Okay. And then what is another highlight for you, Kate?
Okay. I don't understand why this isn't a bigger part of the show. Please explain it to me. Okay. So there's like this split second moment when a couple of the people with like the worst gimmicks, like, you know, dildo girl, there's a girl who like threw a fish, a girl that walked up in lingerie and like had her dresses on the rack, which honestly, I respected that as well. That was a big swing and it worked for me. But these girls, there's a split second where the other girls are like up looking out a window and watching them and reacting. And when as soon as that happened, I was like, I want this throughout the whole episode. I want to see them talking shit about each other. I want to see them being impressed by each other, because then I know what to think. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know what to think about like Fish Girl or these other random women.
That should be a spin-off.
Tell me which ones. Right. Like I want like them to have like watch each other walk in, each all be mic'd, all be like talking about each other, being like, I love her dress, or like, wow, that was stupid, or oh, she tripped, that's embarrassing. Cause otherwise, all you get is fucking Matt James being like, wow, you're beautiful. Wow, she's beautiful.
Right. Yeah.
Wow, love that. Oh wow. I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Like I don't care about that.
And the conversations that they have in the house, amongst the women, are also kind of boring. And the men too, because they don't have a lot to talk about. If you got a costume on, you kind of talk. I mean, that's why they reverted to the dildo so much, just because not a lot to say within the first
storyline.
Kate, speaking of all these entrances in the premiere episode, did you notice that they all got sent home and it was bright daylight outside? Like, it literally goes through the night.
All
until
the way
like
overnight?
7 a.m. the next morning. In the confessionals at the very end, the girls have no makeup on and they, like, look like I would look if I was, you know, being filmed for many, many hours.
Yeah, which I did actually, somebody, I think it was Matt, said something where he's like, oh my God, the time is moving so fast. I'm like, is it? You're filming
for
overnight,
you, maybe.
And it has to be like 12 hours.
Yeah.
So I cannot imagine that it's moving quickly for you or me.
Yeah.
But yeah, make a panel of the girls. Let them shit talk each other as they walk in. That's what I want.
Damn, stirring the pot. The last thing I'll say that I want to give a shout out to these women on, every woman in America has gotten so good at applying false eyelashes that it doesn't even look bad anymore. It looks like natural makeup and natural eyelashes. And it's unfair. I never learn. I will never learn. It's way too hard. The makeup is so pristine across the board, and false eyelashes have become such an integral part of, like, you dress up like this. It's absolutely wild. I just got to give them props. They all looked great.
Yeah. Could not be me.
Me neither. All right. Let's do some low lights. Kate, go ahead.
Okay. So just to, you know, defend Dildo Girl, I was not in on all the gimmicks. There was someone named Victoria who dressed up like a queen and was just super annoying. And I know a lot of we obviously have a lot of Bachelor coverage at TheRinger.com. So I'm not saying anything new by saying that I thought she was annoying and her, like, she was trying to be the mean girl. It didn't work. I'm just ready for her to go home. I was annoyed every time she was on screen and not at all entertained. Mm-hmm. So that was a low light for me.
I agree. Yeah.
My next two low lights are just that my willful suspension of belief for reality television just can't deal with this. So just humor me this. I respect the format. I respect the process. But as I was watching, I could not deal with just like the drama over them being like, can I step in? Can I steal him? Which I know has been parodied to the ends of the earth because it's so stupid. But like, I'm just watching and they're so mad that certain girls are tapping them on the shoulder during their deep conversation about their parents.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's all planned. They made you do it. You knew this was coming.
Okay.
And I just can't deal with it.
This is a bigger picture issue. I hope you continue watching with us just for my entertainment. But like, just wait. That's like the crux. That's a third of the show.
It is.
But really, like, is. I just, my willful suspension of belief, like, that's where it ends. I was like, you're all making this up. You know what's happening.
Right.
So yeah, I just couldn't deal with that. And then related to that, my low light is just that this show takes itself way too seriously. Mm-hmm. It just like the process of it all and the honor and the finding the love of your life. It's 60 days, right? Is that how much time?
Yes. Literally, it's like, yeah, 2 months.
You cannot fall in love with these girls in 60 days. You barely talk to them. You don't know them. They don't know you. It cannot happen in this format. And these people are here because they want to be famous. So I just reject all of that. I'm very sorry. I tried.
Just wait until they start saying shit like, I feel myself starting to maybe eventually long-term going to start falling in love with you. They start hedging and the language that they use as they get, you know, like maybe 7 more days in is phenomenal. I need you to keep watching, please.
I can't. I can't. Oh my God. I might, but I just can't deal with it. I was like, watching this.
Amelia, what are your lowlights?
Oh my God. That was okay. Sorry. That's really good. I am going to go there and say that I personally found the prayer to be insensitive. So there's a point when all the girls are inside and Matt is like, all right, everyone, can you come over here? And he was like, all right, can we bow our heads? And he's like, all right, dear Heavenly Father, blah, 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 blah. And he just like prays over them, which that's fine. If you want to pray, that is fine. I have no problem with that. I do have a problem that it's just like, what if someone here isn't Christian? I just thought that was insensitive. And also it's a larger discussion that I've seen online. I will make this brief, but there's been this really like Christianization of The Bachelor that I think is in a way kind of similar to people talking about like, hey, we want more diversity on The Bachelor. Well, like you're limiting, you know, when you give one specific person who is like very Christian and who has these certain ideals and like will say, I only want to date other Christians. And I mean, personally, if you want to do that as a personal thing, that's fine. But it really limits the pool of people that you get. And that's not diversity. And, you know, Tayshia last season let go of Ivan, who was one of her final guys, because he was agnostic. And it's just, you know, again, it's like, oh my God, it's just personally, I just don't like it. It's upsetting. Right. I don't know.
And it feels like they didn't have the room to say anything. Like if any of them had a thought where it's like, oh, that feels uncomfortable to me. Or like, oh, I don't want you to pray over me and for me in this journey. Right. There's no room to say that because they like, again, it's a problem with The Bachelor, but you like idolize whoever this person is that you're like,
totally.
You know, the whole game is that you're like trying to get them to fall back in love with you and everyone falls in love with this like one singular person. And there's no room.
Exactly.
I feel like. Ivan went home. Granted, you're totally right. Tayshia's going to make that her. And it feels like Matt James, it's a big part of his life as well. So, of course, you want to be compatible with whoever you end up with. However, yeah, if that made any of the women uncomfortable, we didn't see it. All we saw was Rachel crying and everyone being like, oh, my God. Like, oh, Matt James. Like, oh, my God. And it's like, okay, well, probably some women didn't want that. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And again, you're limiting the future pool of contestants to being only Christians. And it's just like, that's not what this show is, or it shouldn't be, unless you want to rename it as like The Christian Bachelor. You know what I mean? So that was a little
annoying. Christian mingle version of The Bachelor. Right.
Who wouldn't want
to think
that?
About?
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
And then also my other critique is, you know what? Matt seems like a really nice guy. He really does. But he seems really boring, which, I mean, I guess that's kind of what you want in a lead because they're a steady constant, whereas then the women can cause the drama or whatever, I guess. But it also weirds me out that the sole reason why he got the Bachelor position and not like someone like Big Mike, who is another former contestant, he's Black and he is from Hannah Brown season and he's just so likable and people love him. But the only reason why Matt got the Bachelor position seems like it was because of his friendship with Tyler C. And
100%.
Something about that is just like really knee-jerk reaction to me. Just like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I agree. I think it would be better if he did end up going on Claire Crawley season for 2 episodes, be like, I don't actually have feelings for you, Bounce, and then they plucked him. It does feel a little odd that they plucked him from not exactly obscurity, but like from Bachelor obscurity.
Right.
And put him in, I don't get it.
It's like you have
I do have to
guys.
Say, as someone new to this show, whenever I like see things about past Bachelors or like you guys are talking about them or share pictures of them, I'm just like actively repulsed by something about them. Like I just some sort of like oily vibe.
Oh.
And I don't get that from Matt. I thought he was fine.
No, he's
hot and he's boring and like that's all I need.
All I'm saying is that there was
like, I'm so great. I'm so happy that there is finally a Black Bachelor after however many seasons. But they had some really great, strong contenders to be the first Black Bachelor. And they didn't choose any of them. That's just wild.
Right.
Next time.
Amelia, speaking of like Bachelor versus Tayshia and Claire Crawley and all these things, I think I prefer actually The Bachelorette, where it's the female lead and a pool of men, as opposed to The Bachelor, which is Matt James and a pool of women. Do you agree? Or which do you prefer? Which format?
That's a great question. I would say, I guess, yeah, I do. I think probably because, and I know this has been said over and over again, but it's like when, if you're like, you know, a straight woman and you watch The Bachelorette, you can kind of put yourself in there and be like, oh, those are the guys that I would like. And you kind of live vicariously through The Bachelorette, which I think is a draw for a lot of people who watch it, you know? And so like men usually like The Bachelor and women usually like The Bachelorette. But there's something that's almost more low key about The Bachelorette. I don't really know what it is, but I kind of like that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Kate, I know you don't have a lot of experience with this, but as you can see, there's like a lot of drama that happens, and it happens with both formats of the show. But there's something, there's just something I feel like the women as the lead have like a deal with the conflict that happens in the show better. We'll see how Matt James fares, of course, like we don't know. And then also Claire Crawley's season is a horrible example because she just like did her own thing, and that's not exactly like used as evidence on either side. But anyway, I just find that a group of men kind of like dealing with their like raging testosterone and like grappling with their emotions and like figuring out like what is more appealing for me to watch than women being like catty about looks or like, you know, whatever. So anyway, that's my only opinion on
it. I totally agree. I think the women leads do a better job of nipping drama in the bud. Just being like, no. Like, and we saw with both Tayshia and Claire, they were both like, I can't, this, no, please.
I hope that Matt James just shuts Kit down right in her tracks, hopefully.
That doesn't seem likely.
Or the queen.
Okay. That doesn't seem likely.
Before we get into the lightning round with Jamelia, you can take over. Who is your guys' MVP for this episode?
My MVP is Agent of Chaos, the dildo. I appreciated his presence in this episode. I appreciated that he made everyone really uncomfortable because I was uncomfortable watching this, but not for that, just for everything else. He interrupted the prayer. Like, what more do you want?
Amelia, who's your MVP?
I would say, you know what, Kate, thank you for making it through the whole 2 hours with us. I mean, I think, you know, I don't know what it's like not to love reality TV, but you know what? I
couldn't be us.
I applaud you. So thank you. And honestly, also the MVP goes to the rest of us too, because 2 hours of the show is a lot.
it's way too much.
It was a lot.
Amelia, I think I differ from you in that I actually really love Chris Harrison.
And a lot of people do. I understand.
I find him to be the backbone of a chaotic structure. He's been there through many ups and downs. So I'm giving the MVP to him. I think he's honestly going to retire in the next couple season. JoJo or Jordan or someone else is going to like take over. I think he's just, didn't he just move to Austin or something? He's like doing his big move. I don't know.
People are saying it's for tax reasons.
LOL. Oh, okay.
But I don't know. Who knows?
Okay, Amelia, take it away with this lightning round.
All right, lightning round. Who is your best guess for front runners / final four guesses? Because if you watch The Bachelor / Bachelorette, you know that it is a huge thing to guess the final four people who make it to hometowns and where The Bachelor or Bachelorette goes to each person's hometown and meets their family and friends, blah, blah, blah. They've done it differently in quarantine and have brought people's families and friends to Nemecolon or La Quinta. So it's a little different, but it's the same concept. Anyway, I'm sorry. So anyway, who are your final four guesses?
Kate? I'm staring at these four names and I know who maybe two of them are. God. I wrote them right as I was watching it and I have immediately forgotten people's names. Kayla, I wrote because he was like hanging out in her truck. He spent a lot of time with her talking about like where she was from. Seemed like a good hang. Again, I like don't know what to look for in this, so I just picked people that I thought he hit it off with. I wrote Mari because he stared at her ass for a really long time.
Okay,
quickly. I swear this will be quick. But when someone gets intro'd, they walk up, and then normally in a normal season, they kind of like round the corner of the Bachelor mansion, and then they kind of disappear quickly. So like, turn a little bit, say a little comment, and then you go back. Matt James, the way it was set up was like they walk past him, and they had to climb like four flights of stairs up into this hotel.
Like the stairs of Khan.
Yeah, it like kind of turned like he turned to like watch every woman's ass, which I know he wasn't. He was more. It's like what the Bachelor or Bachelorette does. They like go and like send them off with their eyes. But it just the way that this was set up, it just looked like Matt James was just like checking them up in town, like their entire way up. And then he'd say like, wow. And you're like, no, that was bad, buddy. No, don't do that. So yeah, he looked like he was staring at everybody's ass for a really long time.
Yeah. Mari got the longest edit in terms of the walk up the stairs. Yeah. So I just put her, he also like talked about her with her family before she got tapped on the shoulder by a dildo.
Right.
So, you know, I just feel like rooting for her. And then I fully forgotten who Sarah is. So apologies to Sarah, who I wrote down for some reason. And then Rachel, who I also barely remember. So that's my four.
Everybody has Rachel. She, I think, is like all three of us.
Who is that?
She was one of the first two out of the limo. I think she looks kind of like Ana de Armas in some lights. Oh, in some lights,
like pale, dark hair.
Yes. She's the one that cried after the prayer.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Her.
Okay. So we all have Rachel, and then Amelia. Who are your others in the top four?
I also have Brie, who I think was first out of the limo entrances. She had a really cute green dress. And then also I also had Sarah, and you know Sarah is the one who has a sad backstory. Her dad has ALS.
She's a broadcast journalist.
Yep. Right. And they have like a weird, you know, in the long teaser, they make a point to have her crying several times. So I think she's going to go pretty far for that reason. And then I also said Anna, who looks like Hannah Brown and loves caffeine.
She was like a little bit like manic. She had some crazy eyes.
She actually did.
Liked. I felt like it was an honest portrayal of how people actually act in that situation.
Liz, who do you have?
Bree, same as you. I got Rachel, same as you guys. I have Abigail, but also maybe just for the Bachelorette. I feel like
I'm worried for her because I didn't see her a bunch in the previews. But I totally agree.
You said that in the note, Rose All Thorn, and I was like, oh shit, that's right. So perhaps not. But I think, I mean, she was also like super blew up on Instagram after this episode. So who knows what'll happen.
I liked her.
Yeah. And then I have Piper. I didn't really know who's going to, I have actually a very bad sense of these things.
Me too.
but I agree with you guys mostly on your choices. Okay. Next one.
So could you guys see more or less of Chris Harrison? Kate, what do you think?
Here's the thing. I actually really enjoyed his presence because I just felt like he's seen it all. And I'd like, as a new viewer, I just like needed like a guide to like carry me through this
experience. He's a weary veteran,
And totally, he honestly has like that weary thing where he's like, here we go again. Fucking Matt James, all these damn women. And like, I just like had this vibe from him where like nothing he would see would faze him because like he's seen everything. He saw like fucking fence jump, whatever hell happened when the guy dumped the one girl for the other girl. So I was just like, whatever happens, like Chris Harrison will be unfazed. And like, that was the reassurance that I needed as I was like cringing into my couch cushions.
I agree. More Chris Harrison. He is the backbone of the franchise, and I find him to be actually quite hilarious. Amelia, thoughts?
I always think we need a little less because it's just like, okay, yeah, Chris, we can see that you have one rose left, but that's not necessarily him, I guess. But my dad compared him to like an undertaker, you know, at a funeral home who guides people through death, which kind of makes sense. You know, he's guiding us.
He definitely was part of the whole like taking it too seriously thing. Like I was like,
oh my God,
you can stop giving dramatic pauses. Like
he's helming the ship. So. Yeah.
Yeah. You could also compare him to like a wedding DJ. Maybe it's like a little lighter. Like you guide everybody to this like love ceremony, but also through death. That's also a good one.
That too. Okay. So, and then what do you guys think was the best gimmick of the night? Kate?
There were some fascinating ones. Yeah. Again, I've talked about Dildo Girl a lot, so I'm going to focus on someone else. And there was a girl whose name I did not bother to learn, who had the whole world of like gimmicks and puns and costumes at her disposal. And she went with a pair of slippers that looked like goat feet. And she said something about how Matt's the greatest of all time and then like showed him her feet, pulled up her dress and had like these gross like hooves on and that, and she had to wear them all night, and that's what you go with?
Kate.
You have every possible joke?
You have never seen when Alexis, a contestant, dressed up in a full ass dolphin costume and sat there all night, never changed.
Forget. That's funny. That's funny.
That convinced it a bit harder. Weird. At least she was comfortable, you know?
Right. That at least, like, everyone can look at you and know that you're the dolphin girl or whatever. And like, it's visible. Whereas the goat feet was like just her, like, just sitting there in her dress and her goat feet. And I was like, oh, that's not funny to begin with.
Also,
oh, it was sad.
Did you see it and were kind of like, I don't know what this is for like 5 seconds before realizing, oh, right, these are hoops.
Yeah, it's not an obvious.
Totally.
Right. Yeah. It's not an obvious thing. And it's also like the greatest of all time. What? Like the GOAT, what? It's like
he was person.
He won awards for his sports or anything. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, that's such a weird leap. Yeah, I don't know. Very weird choice.
Liz, what did you choose?
I picked Bachelor Survival Kit because I thought the little red flags was really cute, but I also want to give a shout out to Brie, who was the first one out. I don't know if she did this on purpose, couldn't tell. But Matt was like, hi, what's your name? And she goes, Brie, what's your name? And he was like, Matt. And it was like,
that was good.
Really cute.
Yeah.
And it really reminds you of like when you get like your food at a restaurant, they're like, enjoy. And you're like, you too, or whatever.
Yes!
And you're like, fuck. They can't enjoy it. I'm fucking at a restaurant. That's what it reminded me of.
That's really funny.
Yeah, I thought that was really cute.
Yeah, great.
It was.
I liked it.
It was. I also liked when Abigail was, you know, she was nervous because she's deaf and she was like, it's so awkward to say that, like, I'm deaf so soon into it. And so, but she said, like, I'm deaf, so I'm going to be reading your beautiful lips. And I was like, oh, that is smooth.
Very smooth.
I really like that. But I know we all hate Victoria, but her whole queen bit with like, that's her job title, whatever, whatever, gave her a lot of screen time / attention, which is what I think she wanted. So, you know what?
Yeah.
More power
the
to
The goat
you.
Girl should have put goat as her job title.
That would have been great.
Shut up. That would have rehabilitated that joke.
Because Alexis put like aspiring dolphin trainer or something. Anyway, we can move on. I don't know
why. If you're going to commit, you got to commit.
Agreed.
Okay. And then final question. Kate, would you watch another episode or did this ruin reality TV for you forever?
Okay, so I don't think I'll watch regularly. Okay. However, I wrote this 2 days ago. And since then, I've started getting Bachelor TikToks. I've seen all the memes and I've understood all the memes. I've seen all the jokes. I've been able to talk about it with you guys. And I have to say, I enjoy knowing what people are talking about.
Okay.
Like, I really enjoyed being in on the jokes. So I will I'm definitely invested. Like, I definitely care about who wins and like who goes far. I don't think I will like watch live and I also probably won't watch, but I think maybe I'll watch like YouTube clips, definitely watch Amelia's recaps. And I just definitely extremely need to know who wins. And I like knowing the jokes also, just not to be too on brand here, but just like, this is such an aggressively heterosexual show.
It is.
And I know that's how it is. And with the Christianity thing and like middle America and like, that's just television.
Yeah.
But the day they give us like a gay bachelor or a gay bachelorette, I will watch the whole show.
Hell
so
yeah,
that's totally what it's going to take for me to watch it live.
Understandable.
But until then, I will watch Amelia's recaps.
Well, thank Rob Mills, please, if you're listening, do it.
Iconic All Rob.
Right. It has been a long episode, so let's go to the final category. Sorry, Kaya. This is Tea Time's unanswerable question. Actually, bachelor related, this first one.
Yeah,
Kate.
This is my segue. So as I said, I've been getting the memes. I've been seeing the TikToks. I don't know how TikTok knows, but they know. They always know. And I've just like been like weirdly immersed in Bachelor Nation very, very quickly. And so I just went on Instagram the other day. I was just scrolling away literally the day after I watched this. And fucking Kit, what's her face, pops up on my feed, my main feed. And I was like, wait.
Wow.
And I clicked on her page and I already follow her. So,
so
she doesn't have that many, like an insane amount of followers. She's not famous. She's not a model. She's not well known. And I clearly like already followed her at some point in
that
my past for some unknown reason. So here's my next question. It's why do I already follow her?
Yeah.
And I'm just like trying to like interrogate my past self to understand. I scrolled through her, literally her entire Instagram to see if anything looks familiar, if there was any reason that I could have followed her. And my theory is this: oatmeal. I went through an oats phase Those of you who know me know that I don't cook. I'm very lazy in the kitchen, but I like to pretend that I'm not, which means that I went through an overnight oats phase where I like made fancy oats.
Yes.
And Kit, like years back in her Instagram, went through some sort of phase where she was like posting recipes and she had a lot of oats recipes. And I think I maybe followed her as an overnight oats influencer.
You've been in an oats phase for a really long time because me and you shared an office way back when the world was normal and you fucking had oatmeal every single morning and I'd walk in and it would smell like cinnamon apple. It's kind of nice.
Right. And it was, that was like way back when, and yeah. I don't, I'm not really into that anymore. So I think like the reason I don't remember her is because since I've like moved on from my oats phase,
Sorry.
I like didn't really engage in that content anymore. So Instagram stopped showing it to me. And then somehow it knows that I started engaging in bachelor content. And so then she came back up.
Wow.
And it was like, here you are.
Oh my God.
It was just fate. And I'm not rooting for her, but I do want her to go back to posting recipes because apparently that was I think that was the content I originally came for. I don't know though. I still don't know.
Oh my God.
It's a mystery. Unanswerable.
It is. It's an unanswerable question.
That is a good one. God, well,
thank you.
Jesus. Okay. This feels stupid, but so David Hasselhoff, you know, the guy on Baywatch, the Hoff, he is selling a bunch of his memorabilia. And one of the pieces is a giant replica of himself that was used for the SpongeBob SquarePants movie. And they have put it up on Live Auctioneers and they think that it will sell for $1.5 million. For literally all it is a giant replica of David Hasselhoff. And he's just smiling. It's like, I don't, what? $1.5 million?
First of all, it's terrifying. You have undersold how terrifying this is. He's on his stomach.
Why is his mouth open?
I don't know.
Because Patrick and SpongeBob are riding
him
in the
ocean. Why is he naked?
They're riding him out in the ocean. He has his boxers on or something. He has like swim shorts.
Okay.
Yeah.
It looks like it's maybe a towel.
I'm speechless.
Yeah.
No, I would never buy this for $1.5 million. Also, wow. The first bid is $100,000. There are 44 bidders watching this item in case you guys were wondering.
That's wild.
Wow. It doesn't seem like anyone's bid.
If they only
zero
have
bids.
40.
Zero.
Oh, zero?
Zero bids.
Oh. How are they going to get from $100,000
to fucking $1 million?
Oh, my God. This reminds me of like
I gotta keep an eye on this. I have to know.
That's really funny.
I want to know what it goes for.
We'll keep you guys
posted.
We're
gonna have to check in.
Yeah. That'll be our first category next week. Checking in with David Hasselhoff's replica. Okay, lastly, I'm sorry. I know that Tea Time and especially Kate is happy. Harry Styles is spoken for at the moment, but Miley Cyrus has publicly, you know, she's shooting her shot at Harry Styles. She went on a British radio network called Heart. Ooh. And she was asked if she'd rather kiss Harry Styles or Justin Bieber. Granted, she had an easy out. She's like, Justin Bieber's family, known him way too long. So Harry Styles.
Yeah.
But then she goes on to say, she's like, he's really good looking, really good. I'm into the fishnets. We have very similar tastes. I think sharing a closet, sharing a life together, it just makes sense. Tea Time has healed. The bridge between Miley Cyrus and Harry Styles has been formed. There's no other conflict that exists on the show. I just feel like this is what does it, you know?
Honestly, they almost make sense together.
Right?
They make more than a little bit of sense.
Have they met
Not
before?
Even just the fishnets.
Yeah. Do we have any public record of them, like,
they
photographs
have to
together?
Have met.
I actually can't tell. Fan art has been so good. When people like Photoshop two people together, I can't tell if it's real or fake.
The shops, yes.
Yeah, it's real. God.
Okay.
Oh yeah, they've met. Okay. They've met for sure.
Okay. Oh
they seem God. Like they would be friends. They both like to party.
Yeah.
They're both, I think, very smart, but like don't necessarily, it's like not necessarily part of their public image.
Yeah.
Great
they, like,
music.
Live out in the mansions of Malibu, just like chill.
Oh, yes.
Have a bunch of pets, make music.
I'm just thinking about all like the Photoshopped accounts, like Harry Miley. Harry
Let's
Miley
start
stand.
That rumor.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's just do it. Just stir the pot.
You heard it
I'm
here
into
first.
That.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll do some manipulation of images. Yeah, okay.
Please. Great. That's why you follow us at Tea Time Pod.
Yeah.
As a last minute plug. Okay. Anyway, God bless our producer, Kyan McMullen, who has to
truly
listen to us every week. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Alwell.
And I'm Amelia Wedmeyer.